dying blood bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm blood bond.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I'm reading this week. I actually began, and for several weeks I've been reading to you from my new book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days. And that went right up until Wednesday of this week. And so for the last 2 days, I've been reading you from a small little mini book that was put together from my teaching because praying for Jerusalem, you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You pray that it comes together. Heavenly Jerusalem and earthly Jerusalem. So I'm reading to you this last day from Jerusalem Above and Below from a little mini book, and it's just $2 that you can get by calling 1-800-972-3447. This is the second chapter, The True Tale of Two Cities. Many Bible prophecy watchers know from events in Israel that the battle for Jerusalem has begun. But do you know the battle is really for two Jerusalems? Years ago, I walked into one of the oldest synagogues in Jerusalem. There on the wall was a painting of the heavenly Jerusalem in the clouds over earthly Jerusalem. It was painted there when the synagogue was restored following the Six-Day War. The huge wall mural over the Holy Ark where the scrolls are kept at once thrilled me and ignited anew a question I had long pondered. How do the Jews know so much about the heavenly Jerusalem? A book I recently found described the mural as follows. Today, the synagogue has been restored in its traditional form. However, the original decorations gracing the Aron Kodesh, that's the Holy Ark, have been replaced by modern depictions of worldly and spiritual Jerusalem. Yerushalayim Shelmatah, Jerusalem below, and Shelma'alah, above. The houses represent worldly Jerusalem and the sky above them, with its dove-like clouds, the symbol of peace and spiritual Jerusalem. There it was in the mural, something I'd been seeing and wondering about for a long time, Israeli paintings of the heavenly Jerusalem. And I could not see how they knew about it from the Old Testament, for most of what we know we learn from the New. So I started asking questions of the rabbis. Here are some of the things I was told. Moses told us. We have it in the oral tradition. Moses went there during the 40 days at Sinai. He saw the pattern of heavenly things there. Jerusalem above. Jerusalem below. Two Jerusalems in Scripture. When I questioned them as to where it was in the Scriptures, I was always given Psalm 122. One of the songs of ascent used during the pilgrimage feasts as they went up to Jerusalem. Psalm 122, 3 and 6. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Several sources stated that one level of meaning of verse 3 refers to the two cities joined together. You can see this in the following quote from a book. Quote, Jerusalem's original name was Shalem, coming from the same root, meaning whole, as does Shalom, meaning peace. One of the main concepts of Jerusalem is peace, as it is written, seek Jerusalem's peace. But this peace is not only in the physical world, it also implies peace in the spiritual world. In the words of our sages, this realm is called Jerusalem on high and is said to parallel the physical Jerusalem. If you've heard my teaching on shalom, the peace that comes from being whole, you understand that all Hebrew words come from root words. A usually three-letter root word, all consonants, stands like the hub of a wagon wheel. On the spokes going out from the hub, one could write the words built from the root. Just by adding or changing vowel sounds, a word family is built. In every word, the three-letter root can always be seen. And the words never lose the original meaning of the root. Thus, shalom, peace, is built from the root shalem, whole. Therefore, shalom is the peace that comes from being whole. When we are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we are told to pray for, number one, an undivided earthly Jerusalem and the peace that follows, and number two, the building together, compacting together, the joining together of earthly Jerusalem and heavenly Jerusalem. The Talmud. Another place my sources pointed me to was the Talmudic reference, Psalm 122, a reference on that. I will not enter the heavenly Jerusalem until I enter the earthly Jerusalem, proclaims the Lord. The Vilna Gaon understood this to mean that the physical and the spiritual must go together. Jerusalem is built as a city which is joined together. Yerushalayim. When Jews in Israel pronounce the name of the city to which they are mystically and eternally joined, they say Yerushalayim. The sound of the ending is like the dual ending to words indicating things which come in twos. Mishkafaim, glasses, spectacles. Na'alaim, shoes. Yadaim, hands. Aynaim, eyes. Born from above. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, was a ruler of the Jews. As such, he understood Jerusalem from above and Jerusalem from below. When Jesus answered him, "Except a man be born again," born from above, the margin says, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit wrote through Paul, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." Galatians 4:26. The new creation man is born from above and is a citizen now, as well as eternally, of the heavenly Jerusalem. Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation," Greek citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." I enjoy saying it like this. I am an alien from another planet. I am an ambassador from a heavenly kingdom. We live now by the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the laws of the heavenly kingdom. We do our business there according to Hebrews. Consider these wonderful portions from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:9. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Imagine, God likes you to say that you're a pilgrim and a stranger in the earth, that you're not of this world, that you're a new creature, and that your citizenship is in heavenly Jerusalem. Therefore, you are an ambassador from heavenly Jerusalem, and you get to go by the laws. As it is written, the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have set me free from the law of sin and death. Hebrews 12:22 through 23 reads, "You are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." It doesn't say you will come when you die. It says you are come. You are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Hebrews 13:14. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Church, you have a mansion in heaven. You live in heaven now. Your citizenship is there, and you're going to live there during the millennium and in the future. Always there in that heavenly Jerusalem, it's the home of the church. The church of the living God is born from, is a citizen of, does business in, and has a place prepared in the heavenly Jerusalem. There are two cities, an earthly and a heavenly. The Bible also speaks of more than one Zion. Zion can refer to the city of David. It can refer to earthly Jerusalem. It can refer to all Israel, or, as in Hebrews 12, it can refer to the heavenly Mount Zion and the church. In the rapture, the church proceeds to heavenly Jerusalem for the marriage supper of the Lamb. See Revelation 19, 6 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The Hebrews speak of a place, and the people of that place is one. For instance, when you say Israel, you can mean the land or the people. Matthew 3:5 reads, Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea. The buildings didn't go out to see John the Baptist, the people did. And the Bible calls them Jerusalem. When Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, he didn't mean the buildings kill them. This is a Hebraism. The place and the people go together. So, when the Bible speaks of Jerusalem as being the Lamb's wife, it means the people who dwell there, the saints of God, the ones robed in righteousness. Revelation 21, 9 and 10. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. One who understands this well is David Baron, whom I study and quote so often. He was born in Russia in 1855 and educated under the rigorous tutelage of the rabbinic training of this period. How I have thrilled as I have meditated over these words of his, quote, We have no portion in the land which God has given to Israel as a nation for an everlasting possession, and can never, as we have seen, be alienated from them. But Israel's earthly inheritance in Canaan is the type of our much more glorious possession, the inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, and which, as sure as God is true, can never be forfeited by those whom he has of his own free grace constituted heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Our inheritance is safely reserved by God himself in heaven for us and can never be taken from us. There is another restoration or return of scattered Israel, foretold by all the prophets, not of remnant only, but of the whole people, not from Babylon or any one country or district, but all the places that they are divided and scattered. And the joy and blessedness of returned and redeemed Israel in literal Zion will be a type and reflection of the even fuller joy and greater blessedness of the redeemed of the Lord out of every nation, people, and tongue, who will then be safely gathered unto him in the heavenly Zion, the Jerusalem that is above, of which the literal Jerusalem will be the vestibule. Oh, what a future! Oh, what a planner! Oh, what a plan! This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.